was sitting in a Vesper program, and I was surprised to see a former member who had driven 100 miles to see me. And so after the program, he came up, and I said, "Where is Sally?" Now, Sally wasn't the name of his wife, but we'll call her Sally. And he said, "Sally divorced me." And I was just completely overwhelmed. I mean, this man was one of our elders. He had two fine children, and his wife was a community service leader. I just could not believe it. And this was my first introduction to mad wife disease. And when I called her up, I said, "Surely this can't be. Is there someone else in your life?" "No," she said, "I just can't take it any longer, Pastor Schultz. And I just don't love this man anymore." And men, this is a scary sermon. Two weeks from today, you're going to have your chance, because I'm preaching about how to meet the emotional needs of a man. And but today we're talking about how to meet the emotional needs of a woman. And there was a survey taken about who is the happiest person in the United States. And the person who was doing this survey divided the people in the United States up into four categories: married men, single women, married women, and single men. So we've got married and single men, married and single women. Guess who was the happiest? Married men. Now, you ladies know that, don't you? But the surprising thing is, guess who is the second happiest? Single women. And then comes married women, and then the most miserable, the most dejected of them all are single men. Someone asked, when they heard the title of this sermon today, how do you catch mad wife disease? The solution is in the box, and I need someone. Now, if you open up this chest, you won't get a disease. I need to tell you that. But this is the key. I need a volunteer, a little boy or a little girl to come and, oh, yes, please come and open up the chest. Yes, yes. Okay. How do you get mad wife disease? Okay, open up the chest. All right. You want to take those two things out? All right. Now, which one of these, are they the same?
No.
Which one is stronger? But this one's made out of glass. This one's made out of plastic. If I drop that one, will it break? So that one's stronger, isn't it? Okay. Now, just because this one, don't go away. Just because this one's stronger, does it mean that it's better? No, it's not better. Just because it's stronger doesn't mean that it's better. Actually, this one's more beautiful. Okay, thank you very much. And this is for you, coming up and doing this. I hope you gentlemen get the picture here. And now you can turn in your Bibles to 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 7. Stronger, but not better. Okay? But gentlemen, that's not really how you catch mad wife disease. 1 Peter 3, verse 7. This is just the introduction. 1 Peter 3, verse 7. In the same way, you husbands must give honor to your wives. Treat her with, and here comes the word, understanding. Treat her with understanding as long as you live together. She may be weaker than you are. She's made out of glass. She's fragile. But she is your equal in God's gift of new life. They're both mugs. They're both glasses. They're equal, but she's weaker. And then it goes on. It says, if you don't treat her as you should, your prayers will not be heard. That's another sermon. But I want you to understand, first of all, gentlemen, that the reason why women get mad wife disease is because men don't have an understanding of how to meet their wife's emotional needs. No one ever tells us how to meet the emotional needs of our wife. And I've seen too many people get divorced, and it's usually the same thing. It's because people don't understand Ephesians 5. And the sermon is very easy to understand. There's an outline in your bulletin. And we're going to start off with Ephesians 5:25, the first part. The first part, Ephesians 5:25, it says, husbands, what are you supposed to do? This is a commandment. Husbands, do what? Love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. Why doesn't it say, wives, love your husbands? It's because, gentlemen, it's easier for women to love than it is for men. I heard a conversation. Beautiful family. They live over in Medford now. I've had a lot of people immigrate to Oregon, so I It's only natural that I'm here too, but this is a precious couple, and they've been married for 40, 50 years, and she said, Jim, you never tell me you love me. You know what Jim's response was? I told you once 40 years ago, and if I ever change my mind, you'll be the first to know. That's the attitude of a lot of men. Did you get this quotation here? This is priceless. Adventist Home 107, there are many who regard the expression of love as a weakness. Real macho men don't tell their wives they love them. Be careful. Mad wife disease is right around the corner. They maintain a reserve that repels others. This spirit checks the current of sympathy. As the social and generous impulses are repressed, they wither and the heart becomes desolate and cold. We should beware of this error. Love cannot long exist without expression. Let not the heart of one connected with you starve for the want of kindness and sympathy. This is great stuff. Ellen White knew all about mad wife disease. People say, how do I love? Well, the text says that we are to love as Christ loved and how Christ gave himself for the church. And right here, I can hear the men thinking. They say, Pastor Schultz, I've given my wife everything. She drives a beautiful car. I've given her a beautiful house. She has all of the gadgets in the kitchen. She has a beautiful home. There isn't anything that I haven't given her. But I've seen these women time after time come down with mad wife disease anyway. The husband thinks that they have been given everything, but there's one thing that he hasn't given them. You know what that is? Himself, his life. And you say, well, what should he give of himself? Priority. You know, marriage doesn't demand perfection. And that's the good news, gentlemen. You don't have to be perfect to be married, but you do have to give your wife the priority that is due her. You know what the five priorities of life are? Who's number one? God. God's first. Number two, listen up, guys. Number two is your spouse. That means she's ahead of football. She's ahead of fishing. She's ahead of your work. She's ahead of everything. She is the greatest treasure you have. God is number one. Your wife is number two. Number three is your children. And some people don't understand that. They say, well, Pastor Schultz, the children should come before the spouse. No, because if your marriage is strong, you are going to give to your children the security that they long for, the love. So God, your spouse, your children, your job, and then I could just see Brother Kirk saying, give me five. If you want to work on the church, the work of the church takes fifth place. That's all right. I had a lady, she had mad wife disease, and her husband came and he says, Pastor Schultz, you got to help me because she's leaving me. She's ready to move out. And so we got together and we met once. And then we met again, and he was a trucker. I mean, he had a terrible schedule. And, you know, and he'd be driving these big rigs and he'd be caught somewhere on the Santa Ana Freeway. And yet he came to the second meeting and his wife was so impressed because he set his priorities correctly. And she bragged, she boasted. She said, you know, he has said no to his boss. His boss invited him out to a beautiful dinner, and he said no. He had to meet with a pastor and his wife. Give her priority. Number two, Ann Landers was asked, how do I know if I love so-and-so? And she had a very interesting solution. She says, for 2 days, 48 hours, I want you to set aside all of the newspaper clippings and all the little things that you want to share and write them down and then see how much you have after 2 days. Because love shared. That's how you can tell if you love someone, if you want to share. And gentlemen, you not only give her priority, here comes, give her your ear. Women need to talk. They have to verbalize. Men can get along with about one-fifth of the words, but ladies have to talk. And you need to listen to them. They want to share their whole life to you. And you need to listen. And then it's your turn. You need to open your life and share with them how you feel about things. And if you do that, remember that women are turned on by words. Men are visual. Women are turned on by what they hear. So you give her priority. You give her an ear. Give her forgiveness. When she does something stupid, forgive her. Don't keep hassling her over it. You know, one of the greatest, if I'm any kind of a husband, it's because of my dad. I'll never forget this, and it's always a challenge to me. You know these signs that say, do not back up? If you back up, severe tire troubles, you know. My mother backed up, And she blew out not two of her tires, but she blew out all four tires. She calls my dad up, and here she is sobbing and bawling, and you'll never believe, honey, what I did. I blew out all four tires. I backed up on this thing. You know what my dad's response was? It's okay, honey. You needed new tires anyway. My mom and dad were happily married, and they passed that legacy on to me. It's so precious. Give her forgiveness. And then when you're right, when you're wrong and she's right, give humility. I'm sorry. Those are the two magic words. And there's so many husbands that just won't ever say that. To say they're sorry, it's not going to happen. Gentlemen, if you say you're sorry, if you give humility, and you eat humble pie, she will give you nice dessert afterwards. Guaranteed. The Bible is very clear that there should be open communication. There should be never should there be a time when the sun goes down on your anger. And so if you have a fight, don't carry it into the next day. There are so many marriages are destroyed because of pride. Someone does something dumb, they won't say they're sorry. The other person won't back down, they won't say they're sorry. Both people in this prideful situation brood over this, and it gets bigger and bigger, and they get farther and farther apart, and then pretty soon there's mad wife disease. They give her praise. You know, women do very well today, and yet they have so much on their tables. You know, many times a woman is expected to be a professional woman. She goes out there and earns money just like the man does. And then she comes home and she's got to be a perfect wife. She has to be a perfect mother. She has so many areas that she has to cover, so many things that she needs to do. Just give her some praise. That's all she wants. Number six, give her a hand. You'd be surprised at the men that are becoming couch potatoes. They work hard all day. They come home. They flop down in front of the TV, and that's it. That is the sum total of their contribution to the family, is that they keep the couches warm. I'll never forget coming back from the mission field. We had a lady who came in about 7 o'clock in the morning, and she stayed until 5, and she cooked and cleaned and did everything, washed the dishes. And it was great because Elizabeth, had more time with the kids. When we came back to the United States, I wasn't with the program. And we didn't have anybody that to do all of these things. And so Elizabeth was looking after the kids, and then she was doing all the housekeeping. She was doing all of the dishwashing, cleaning toilets, everything. And then one day, we had dull knives in India, and she went to Price Club. That's before Costco. And she bought one of those sets of knives, and, she's chopping away, and she chops the end of her finger off, falls on the floor. She picks up the Tupperware thing, puts a little salt water in there, picks it up, puts the end of her finger in the Tupperware, calls me up. We race her down to the hospital, sew the finger back on. She can't wash the dishes anymore. That's one of the things that saved my wife from getting the mad wife disease. Suddenly I said, oh, I guess I'm supposed to help around the house. Suddenly now I do all the dishes. I clean the toilets. And it was good because we need to give a hand. So we have give priority, give an ear, give forgiveness, give humility, give praise, give a hand, and then finally give respect. She needs to know that you value her opinion and that you will discuss big decisions with your wife. So important, so important. Okay, that was the easy one, gentlemen. We're at 5:26, Ephesians 5:26. Now, here comes some words that I struggled with all week long. And again, this sermon is not finished. If you have any ideas, especially from the ladies, I'm listening. But here we have 5:26 and 27, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but it should be holy and without blemish. And so the command here is to love your wife, and next comes to sanctify your wife. And I struggled with that. Sanctify means to set aside as holy. How does a man sanctify his wife? Through prayer. If a wife knows that her husband every day is praying for her, setting her aside as holy, setting her aside, asking that the Lord will bless her, I don't believe, I've never heard of a woman getting mad wife disease when her husband is praying for her. Then also the husband sanctifies his family, just like Job did with his children. What does that mean? Family worship. Now, one of the most precious times in my life with my family was when my children were small. And you know, it's when the baby is in your arms, that's we started in. Rebecca's 2 years older than Nathan, and so Nathan was just, you know, he was 6 months, and we're singing, you know, and reading out of Bible story books. It's amazing that children are like little sponges, and children today are not getting basic Bible knowledge. Why? Because moms and dads are not having worship with them. And so we would go through Uncle Arthur, and then we'd buy another set of Bible stories. We'd go through those, and we went through the Bible about 4 or 5 times with these kids. And we sang, and some of the happy moments of my life is remembering my son, who's a bit of a charismatic type, a charismatic 3-year-old, and he would be jumping and dancing all over the room as we were singing. So in love and excited about spiritual things. Sanctify your family with prayer, family worship. When children get older, it's more difficult, but then you can have prayer with your wife. Not private prayer. This is when you grab her by the hand as you're going out the door, or she's going out the door, and you say, just a minute, honey, let's have prayer. Very, very powerful thing to do. But it's so difficult for a man to do that. He would rather do anything many times than be the spiritual leader in the home. But that's what a wife is looking for. So sanctify and cleanse. What does it mean to cleanse your wife? Does this mean scrub her back when she's in the bathtub? No. The text is very specific, that he might sanctify, verse 6, and cleanse her with the washing of water by the word. This is actually talking about spiritual things with your wife. And for men, that is extremely, extremely difficult. Turn to Deuteronomy 6. Deuteronomy 6. We're fortunate that we have men in our congregation who are not afraid to talk about spiritual things. And that's good. Be around them. Talk to them. We need to have a men's group, maybe, where we can get together and show each other that we can, as men, talk about spiritual things. Deuteronomy 6, verses 5 through 7. Again, it's a command to love. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy might. Deuteronomy 6, 6. These words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart. And how do you get them out? How do you cleanse your family with these words? And thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children. Thou shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, when thou walkest by the way, when thou liest down, when thou risest up, when you're going from this place to that place, when you're in the car, when you're waiting for supper to be served. That's when you cleanse your family with the Word of God. And then we come down to nourish and cherish. Nourish and cherish. Ephesians 5. 28 and 29. So men ought to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. Well, that's interesting, isn't it? For no man ever yet hateth his own flesh, but does what? Nourisheth it and cherisheth it, even as the Lord the church. Now let's talk about nourish. When you think about nourishing something, I get this picture of a plant. And I don't know about your home, but my wife has plants all over the house. And I'm so excited about living in Oregon because she's not going to be able to plant a lot of stuff outside the house. And that's what I did, you know, down in California, 45 minutes, 3 times a week, watering all the plants. And we had a sprinkler system, but these are all the little things in pots and pans all over the place, you know. And so we always had this thing where I would water the ones outside and she would water the ones inside. That was good because I would forget one of those, I'm sure. Visualize the love of your wife, gentlemen, as a plant. And here comes a challenge. You know, men love a challenge. Who was the first person on Mount Everest? A man. Why did he go up there? Because of the challenge. And you know, God has built this into us. And a lot of times when a man marries a woman, the challenge is over. You know, before there was a challenge to win her, and he would open up the door for her, and he would send her candy, and he would give her flowers and do all of these wonderful things. After they're married, the challenge is over. She's mine. I've bagged her. She's a trophy. You know, it's done. Here's the challenge. Keep the plant nourished. Keep the plant nourished. That's your challenge. Don't take the plant. Don't take your wife's love for granted. If you do, if you neglect this plant, if you neglect your wife, she is going to wither up and she may just possibly get NAD-like disease. If you have a plant, what do? You protect that plant. And I looked out of my bathroom window. My rhododendron tree has 14 or 15 blossoms on it. And I haven't seen, anybody else seen any rhododendrons in bloom yet? Okay, there's a few. Do you know why my rhododendron plant is blooming now? Because it's protected. And it's, I don't know how it happened, but this tree is right next to my heat pump. And so it not only is protected from those cruel Oregon winds by the house and this deck, but also it's warmed by the heat pump. And so it's just flourishing and blossoming. And gentlemen, your wife will blossom and bloom too if you give her protection. You need to find out what she needs and just ask her, dear, how can I protect you? How can I take care of you? What can I do for you that you hate doing? My wife doesn't mind being isolated in Brookings because she doesn't like to go to the mall. Praise the Lord. She gets all of her stuff from catalogs. Is that good news or is that bad news? Well, it's good news, but my wife is short and, you know, sometimes things don't always fit. And so guess who gets to take those things back to the post office? I do that for her. That's one of my ways of protecting her. That's one of my ways of saying, I don't want you to be hassled by standing in line down there. I don't want you to be hassled about the postage and all this sort of thing. I'm going to do that for you. Women need to be nourished because women oftentimes are so insecure. It's another reason why women have to talk. They just have to talk because the more they talk, the more secure they feel. Men are not wired that way. And one of the things that women are insecure about is money. Now, I have just three words to say about money and security. The first word is tithe. If you pay tithe, you don't need to worry about money anymore. Every month, the Schultz financial situation experiences a miracle. And Jim Ball talked about the Red Sea experience. You can have a Red Sea experience every time a bill comes due. Because if you pay tithe, the ball is in God's court. He has to provide the money for you to pay that bill. Now, there's another word you need, and that is budget. You can't expect God to pay all of your bills if you don't have a budget and if you haven't figured out, you know, your income versus your expenses. And then prayer. It never hurts to say, give us this day our daily bread. Help me to pay my daily bills. But if you pay tithe, gentlemen, and as the leader of the home, you budget and you pray, there's not going to be that insecurity. And if your wife is worried about having enough money, you can just say, dear, have we ever gone hungry? Has there ever been a time when we haven't been able to pay our bills? And she'll say no. And you'll say, well, that's because we pay tithe, we have a budget, and I'm praying about the situation. And her insecurity is taken care of. Okay, now we have this very special word, cherish. Cherish is the word for your wife. Think of a treasure. That's what your wife is. And if a woman is treasured, she will never, 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 never get mad wife disease. I have never seen a woman who is treasured have mad wife disease. Above everything else, you know, your wife is treasured. I want to share with you the story of Johnny Lingo. Some of you have seen the picture. Next Valentine's Day, we're going to have a nice Valentine's banquet, okay, Bev? You know, you're going to bring out all of your beautiful things, and we're going to have it set up there for a Valentine's banquet. If you want to go to a Valentine's banquet, Gold Beach has one tonight. That's where I'm going. 4:30 starts for Vespers. Anyway, I'd like to show this movie, Johnny Lingo. But you need, gentlemen, you need to know the crux of Johnny Lingo. Johnny Lingo's looking for a wife. He lives in a South Sea island, and he has come to purchase a wife. And wives are purchased by the number of cows that you give. And the young lady that Johnny Lingo wants to marry is a very shy, retiring, Jim Ball would say she's living in the past. She walks around like this, you know, doesn't smile, doesn't do anything. And she is not considered to be a red-hot catch for any guy. And so here comes Johnny Lingo to sit down on the mat in front of the hut and discuss the terms for the dowry. How much money does Johnny Lingo have to give so that he can marry this shy, retiring, kind of plain woman. And people are saying, well, maybe a half a cow, maybe a sick cow, maybe a cow with three legs. At the most, he should give one cow. And the other women are standing around, and this is all a big topic of conversation. And one woman says, well, I'm a two-cow wife. And the other says, well, I'm a three-cow wife. And then here's the real beauty, and she said, my husband paid four cows for me. Oh, that was just too much. Well, anyway, after the decision, the discussion goes on and on and on, and Johnny Lingo says, all right, I've made my decision. I'm going to give no more, no less than 10 cows for your daughter. The man just about falls over and faints. People fall out of the trees. This has got to be some kind of a trick. He wouldn't possibly give 10 cows for this woman. She's just not worth it. She's not with it. And then when the time comes for the wedding, they think that he's not going to bring the cows, but here they come. And so then they have the wedding feast, and they're married, and people are making fun of him. They're making fun of her during the whole service. And finally, he slips away in his canoe, and they go off on their honeymoon. They go to another island, and they're gone for 2 months. And when she comes back, no one can recognize. She is glowing. She is beautiful. She has a completely different attitude. And her dad comes up and says, Johnny Lingo, you cheated me. She's worth 20 cows, and you only got her for 10. And people are just dumbfounded. Where was this shy, ugly, homely, little withdrawn thing that he had married, and now there's this beautiful woman? And so people are saying, Johnny Lingo, what happened here? And he says, you know, the problem with our society is if you treat a woman like a one-cow wife, guess what, folks? Guess what, men? She will be a one-cow wife. But if you treasure her and you treat this woman like a 10-cow wife, she will become a 10-cow wife. Gentlemen, there's your challenge. You have married a human being. You've married someone that you don't always understand. And you have within your power to shape that woman and make her one of the most beautiful beings on this planet. You can make that woman a 10-cow wife. Or through your neglect, through your selfishness, through your thoughtlessness, you can make her a one-cow wife. You can create or destroy, depending on how you relate to your wife. As we close our service today in singing 389, Happy the Home When God Is There. Remember, gentlemen, you don't have these things. Your wife is going to be your teacher. You need to be her student every day. She needs to tell you how to meet those emotional needs, and God needs to come into your life too, and give you that happiness and love you need.